the supplication on Sundays. In the name of Allah, the All-Merciful, the All-Compassionate. In the name of Allah, from whom I hope for nothing but bounty, and from whom I fear nothing but justice. I rely only upon His word, and I cling only to His cord. In Thee I seek sanctuary, O possessor of pardon and good pleasure. From wrong and enmity, and from the changes of time, and the recurrence of sorrows, and from the striking of mishaps, and from the expiration of my term before preparation and readiness. From Thee I seek guidance to that wherein is righteousness and being set right. From Thee I seek help in that which is linked to success and favorable response. Thee I beseech for the garment of well-being and its completion, and for the covering of health and its permanence. I seek refuge in Thee, my Lord, from the goadings of the Satans, and I seek protection in Thy sovereignty from the injustice of the sovereigns. So accept my past prayers and fasting, and make my tomorrow and what is after better than my present hour and my today. And exalt me in my clan and my people, and protect me in my waking and my sleeping. For Thou art Allah, the best guardian, and Thou art the most merciful of the merciful. O Allah, I am quit before Thee on this day of mine and on all Sundays that follow it, of associating others with Thee and of heresy. And I devote my supplication sincerely to Thee, addressing myself to Thy response. And I observe the acts of obedience to You for the hope of Your rewards. So, bless Muhammad, the best of Thy creation, the summoner to Thy truth. Exalt me with Thy exaltation, which is never made to suffer loss. And protect me with Thy eye, which never sleeps. And seal my affair by cutting me off from everything but Thee and my life with forgiveness. Surely, Thou art the All-Forgiving, the All-Compassionate.
IRIB English Radio in the month of Muharram presents today's special. Every day for 15 minutes.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, in the name of Allah, the most compassionate, the most merciful. Ladies and gentlemen, brothers and sisters, Salamun Alaikum. So welcome to this episode of today's special from IRIB English Radio from Iran. This is today's special and the topic is A Message to Save the World. But first, we'll look at the calendar. Today, Saturday, is the 19th of Muharram, 1443 of the Islamic Lunar Hijri calendar, corresponding to the 6th of Shahrivar, 1400 of the Islamic Solar Hijri calendar, and the 28th of August, 2021 of the Christian Gregorian calendar. Let's bless this moment of our today's special by recitation of chapter Nuh, verses 21 to 22.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. قال نوح رب إنهم عصوني واتبعوا من لم يزده ماله وولده إلا خسارا.
Noah said, My Lord, indeed they have disobeyed me and followed him whose wealth and children will not increase him except in loss.
ومكروا مكرا كبارا.
And they conspired an immense conspiracy.
لا إله إلا الله لا إله إلا الله.
Bless your day with contemplation on the verses of the Holy Quran.
Having made his utmost efforts to hundreds of years, Noah noticed that his people, except for a few, persisted in polytheism, idolatry, error, and corruption. Thus he despaired of providing them with guidance and turned toward divine threshold, invoking God Almighty to chastise them. Taking a glance at the history of mankind, we witness that many a leader of different peoples were like them, whose sole privileges rested in amassing unlawful possessions and fathering unworthy offspring, and left no stone unturned to disobey Allah the Almighty and His messengers, peace be upon them all, and to impose their false beliefs upon the deprived, who led their lives in bondage.
On the month of Muharram and the martyrdom anniversary of Imam Hussein alayhi salam and his family and companions, be with today's special. Every day from IRIB English Radio.
People rise up and mourn. It is Ashura. See the struggle of Hussein.
This is today's special and a message to save the world. Putting his life in danger, Imam Hussein, peace be upon him, raised a potent cry of dissent against the establishment and introduced a particular form of non-violent resistance. Even today, his methodology of showing dissent is still prevalent in many civilized societies in one way or the other. He, along with his family and other comrades, offered this supreme sacrifice for the upliftment of truth and made a clear distinction between the truth and falsehood. Apparently, he lost the battle but eternalized himself by standing for the divine precepts of Sharia. His example still warms up the hearts of men with the determination to work for justice.
Dr. Fakhr Rohani.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim wa bihi nasta'in. In this episode, we are going to be concerned with the main messages of Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam for the whole world. Among the historic incidents in the world, we find that the episode of Ashura and the movement of Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam has remained one of the most conspicuous and long-lasting events in the whole world, such that with the passage of over 1400 years, we find that every day the news of commemoration of Imam al-Hussein's mournings and the Ashura ceremonies reverberates in the whole world day by day, and it never ceases, it never fades away. In this regard, we find that the movement of Imam al-Husayn alayhi salam was initiated around 2 years before the death of Muawiyah ibn Abi Sufyan. However, the actual field of the actual battle of Karbala took place just one day on the day of Ashura, 10th of Muharram in the year 61, according to Hijra calendar. However, we find that this great and historic movement that has proved it to be one of the most conspicuous events in the whole world has addressed many people, both Muslim and non-Muslim in the world, such that a great majority of those people who've been able to express themselves in one way or another, I mean, both as men of letters or, politicians or scholars and so on, they expressed themselves and interpreted the movement of Imam al-Husayn alayhi salam from one way or another.
Standing here alone on a land so far from home, a place where angels cry, while innocent children die, Hussein has said goodbye, praying some of them survive the torture and the heat. They can't bear to watch him leave. They cry out, Hussein.
Muharram, a continuous mission against injustice. Imam al-Husayn, forever, demarcated the truth from falsehood. Before heading to Karbala for a decisive battle against Umayyad tyrant Yazid ibn Muawiyah, Imam al-Husayn said, "Surely the main of my stand is not inspired by vain exaltation, and it is also not for the quest of kingdom, neither is it to cause dissension and corruption, nor is it to wrong anybody unjustly." These words of Imam are enough in themselves to prove that his stand was neither for the lust of power nor for any personal gain. It was to safeguard the religion of his grandfather from the clutches of Yazid, who was hell-bent on distorting the real picture of the religion. As far as the real motive behind his uprising against Yazid is concerned, it can never be defined in a better way than the words of Imam himself when he said, "The purpose of my stand is the reformation of my grandfather's nation. I intend to enjoin goodness and forbid evil. I want to emulate my grandfather, the Holy Prophet, and my father, Ali ibn Abi Talib. Peace be upon them."
Hussein al-Gharib al-Gharib al-Hussein, Hussein al-Shahid al-Shahid al-Hussein, Hussein al-Gharib al-Gharib al-Hussein, Hussein al-Shahid al-Shahid al-Hussein.
This is today's special, and I invite you to listen to a short part of a sermon of Imam Sajjad in Kufa. The fourth Imam, Imam Sajjad, addressed the people of Kufa and delivered a sermon before them. After making a sign to them to keep silent, he said, "O people, whoever knows me, and he who does not know me should know that I am the son of that person who was dishonored and whose entire belongings were looted and plundered, and whose women and children were made prisoners. Of course, if the fourth Imam had not mentioned the plundering and maltreatment by the enemy and had not revealed openly the details of the event 1 or 2 days after it had taken place, when the agents of the regime were still jubilant on account of their apparent success and did not know that they had dug their grave with their own hands, it was not unlikely that the matter might have been given a different color in the history of Islam.
The day of Ashura is the day of sacrifice. It's the day of sorrow, pain, suffering, tragedy. But it is also a day of values. If you want to see the religion of Islam summarized in a few hours, look at the day of Ashura. All those religious teachings that Islam brought for us are found in Karbala. The absolute faith in God. Having tawakkul in Allah, you find it in Karbala. The Imam alayhi salam and his companions had this deep faith in God. Despite the danger and the pain, they wholeheartedly submitted themselves to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The values of prayer, the values of honesty, bravery, courage, being self-confident, the value of altruism, of empathy, empathizing with other human beings, you find all of that in Karbala. True love for one another, you find that in Karbala. Many of us for 10, 11, 12 nights, we gather during these first 10 days of Muharram to commemorate the legacy of Imam Hussein alayhi salam. And then we say goodbye to Imam Hussein and his message until next year, or maybe until the month of Ramadan comes and we attend again for the nights of Qadr, the nights of power. Imam Hussein alayhi salam wants us to encapsulate his message. These 10 days energize us, refuel us. They give us the proper spiritual dose.
Allahumma ij'al mahyaya mahyaya Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad wa mamati mamata Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad.
Dear friend, that was all for today's special. May all the praises and thanks be to Allah, to whom belongs all that is in heavens and in the earth. May Allah bless all of you. Be with us for another episode of today's special, inshallah. Thank you and fi amanillah.
Food for thought.
Hello, dear friends, and here is another thought-provoking maxim from immortal martyr of Karbala, Imam Hussein, peace be upon him, the younger grandson of Prophet Muhammad, blessings of God upon him and his progeny. He who tries to achieve something by being disobedient to Allah will not achieve what he expects. and will fall into what he fears.
Join us in this journey. IRIB English Radio. Please log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/en.
Hadith of the day.
Here I am, yearning for your cure. This humble servant will be diverted from you no more, no more, no more.
You're listening to the program Hadith of the Day on IRIB English Radio with Sheikh Yasser Ibrahim, a graduate of Islamic Seminary of Qom.
A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Bismillahir rahmanir rahim. Alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin. Wa sallallahu ala sayyidina wa nabiyyina wa maulana Abil Qasim al-Mustafa Muhammad wa ala ahli baytihi at-tayyibin at-tahirin al-ma'sumin. Assalamu alayka ya Aba Abdullah. Assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, dear listeners. Welcome to another episode of Hadith of the Day on IRIB English Radio in this the month of Muharram. One of the things that, you know, the martyrdom and the event of Ashura and Karbala is not something that, you know, is new or something that happened over time. It was something that has been, or according to some narration, had been written. And a group of people, from the very beginning, according to the tradition that we will mention today, that we will share with our dear listeners, you know, have always had this love, this attraction, this desire for Imam al-Hussein alayhi wasalam. And especially after that event, there is a greater desire and a greater attraction towards the Imam alayhi salam because of that event and because of the tragedy of that particular event. So we have this tradition that has been mentioned by the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It's a very famous tradition, and I'm sure most of you may have heard it before. That says, surely, inna li qatl al-Husayn, that surely, definitely, for the killing and the slaughter of Imam al-Husayn alayhi salam, there is a what? Harara. There is a heat, there is a flame. There is this burning desire. But where? Fi qulub al-mu'mineen. In the hearts of the believers. Now here, obviously, heart is not just this physical heart that we have. Heart is our soul, our nafs. Go further, it is our essence. That in our very essence, there is this fire and flame for Imam al-Husayn alayhi salam, for the mu'mineen, for the believers, for any person who believes in the kalima of La ilaha illallah Muhammad Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This is important to understand, that every single person who claims to be a Muslim, there should be this fire. Or rather, a fire in the heart of a person indicates that he is a Muslim. And this fire will never ever subside, will never calm down, will never cool. La tubradu abada. It will never cool down. It will never be extinguished. This is what Imam al-Husayn alayhi wasalam is. That in the month of Muharram, this flame that is within our very essence, at times during the year, you know, it goes low. It is during this month where it is, you know, reignited, or the flame is, you know, kind of increased. And then we see that, no, this is what I need to do. Imam al-Husayn alayhi wasalam did not do what he did just for the sake of, you know, us to cry. Yes, all of this is very important. But in order for us to get closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to achieve the goal by which we were created, that is to become the Khalifatullah fil ard, to become the true representatives of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on earth. And it is that flame that will assist us in doing so. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to assist us in this regard and make us truly use the month of Muharram in the way it is meant to be used. Inshallah, until next time. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah wa barakatuh.
That was the program Hadith of the Day on IRIB English Radio with Sheikh Yasser Ibrahim, a graduate of Islamic Seminary of Qom.
Oh Lord, here I am, pleading at your door. Send me your mercy, send me your peace, or I am lost for sure. Oh Lord, here I am, yearning for your cure. This humble servant will be diverted from you no more, no more, no more.
Iqra bismi rabbika alladhi khalaq.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. يا أيها المزمل قم الليل إلا قليلا نصفه
أو انقص منه قليلا أو زد عليه ورتل القرآن ترتيلا
فدعوتك ربي بقرآنك جنبني حراني.
Let's recite the Quran.
In the name of Allah, the most compassionate, the most merciful. May the peace and blessings of Allah be upon the soul of Prophet Muhammad and his purified progeny. Dear audience, Assalamu alaikum. Welcome to another episode of the program Let's Recite the Quran, coming to you from the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran. I'm your host Mahdi, and we are joined by Quran expert, dear brother Muhammad. Assalamu alaikum, brother.
Wa alaikum assalam, brother Mahdi. And assalamu alaikum to all of you who are listening to this program.
Thank
I'm
you, brother.
I'm glad to be with you.
Thank you. Well, dear audience, as you may know, this program, Let's Recite the Quran, consists of several Quranic parts. We are going to talk about a famous reciter of the Holy Quran, and then we are going to listen to a recitation of that famous Qari, preceded by its English translation. After it, Brother Muhammad is going to analyze that recitation. And beside these parts, we are going to have some other interesting segments. So stay tuned. Today we are going to listen to a recitation by Sheikh Yasir Sharqawi. Dear audience, if you remember, we have talked about him before. Yasir Sharqawi is a young reciter whose main teacher is Ahmad Mustafa. And you know that Ahmad Mustafa is a devotee and follower of Sheikh Mustafa Ismail. Sheikh Yasir Sharqawi participated in the Islamic Republic of Iran's International Quran Recitation Competition once. And however, he was unlucky because during recitation, he pronounced one word incorrectly, that is, with the wrong vowel. And because of this, he was unable to place first. Now let's listen to Sheikh Yasir Sharqawi reciting Surah Ibrahim, verses 30 and 31.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم وجعلوا لله أندادا ليضلوا عن سبيله قل تمتعوا فإن مصيركم إلى النار قل لعبادي الذين آمنوا يقيموا الصلاة
Dear audience of IRIB English Radio, you're still listening to the program Let's Recite the Quran. And what you just listened to was recitation of Surah to Ibrahim, verses 30 and 31, recited by Sheikh Yasir Sharqawi. And now, Brother Muhammad, let's talk about this beautiful recitation.
Sure. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Sheikh Yasir Sharqawi is a young reciter, and he has a very bright future. Right now, he shouldn't be more than 30-ish right now. He's in his 30s. And he follows the style of Mustafa Ismail, and very precisely. And his ada, the way that he pronounces the words, is also similar to Mustafa Ismail. Okay.
Yes.
And this makes his recitation more like Mustafa Ismail's recitation. Because, for example, by adat, we mean, this is adat. Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. This is the adat of Mustafa Ismail. وَجَعَلُوا لِلَّهِ أَنْدَادًا لِيُضِلُّوا عَنْ سَبِيلِهِ. It has a particular way of pronouncing the consonants and the vowels. Mm-hmm. Okay, other reciters, they have different kind of ada, the articulation. Ada mm-hmm. means articulation.
Articulation of words.
Of words, yes. Okay, this recitation is in maqam rast. And let's begin with the rules of tajweed.
Good idea.
Andadan. We have a nun sakina followed by a letter of ikhfa. Okay, so we have to apply ikhfa by approximating the place of articulation of dal, just like Sheikh Sharawi, he did it well. And at the same time, you have to make a nasal sound for two vowel counts. Liudillu. We have a dad with a kasra. The dad has to be pronounced with the lowest level of tafkhim. Sheikh Sharqawi, he pronounced the dad very well with the lowest level of tafkhim and from the correct place of articulation of dad. We have the same thing in the word masirakum. Masirakum has, there is a sad with a kasra followed by ya'ul mad. So again, we have to give the lowest amount of tafkhim to the sad. And once again, we have this concept in the next verse, yuqimu salah, yuqimu salah. You shouldn't say yuqimu salah. We have to lower the level of tafkhim of the qaf.
To the lowest, actually.
Yes. Al-salah. If you stop on this word, it turns into... the ta turns into a ha. As-salata becomes as-salah. Mm-hmm. Okay. The ha of this ta'u ta'nith was pronounced very well. It had the rakhawa and the timing. If you say as-salah, as-salah, we didn't hear the ha with the necessary amount of timing. As-salah, we should hear the ha a little longer.
Mm-hmm.
Yunfiqu. We have a nun sakina followed by a fa. So we have to approximate the place of articulation of fa.
To apply ikhfa.
Yes, to apply ikhfa and at the same time make a nasal sound for two vowel counts. Sirra'alaniya. Now, here, the ra was not pronounced completely correct because we didn't hear the tapping sound of the ra first. We only heard the dragging sound, which is the second stage of pronouncing ra. Mm-hmm. He said, sirran, sirran,
sirran. Looks like an approximant. Like
no, English. It's not an approximant. An approximant would be sirran. It's sirran.
Not exactly.
Sirran. Like it. It's a dragging sound, and there is contact with the roof of the mouth. It's not.
But it's upper.
The upper, yes. Okay, so it's not exactly an approximant, but it's similar to a ra, but without the tip of the tongue
mm-hmm.
being used. Sirran wa alaniya. Bay'un fihi. Again, we have ikhfa of nun sakina, where the tanween is followed by the letter fa. So once again, we have to approximate the place of articulation of fa, just like Sheikh Sharqawi. Bay'un fihi. As you can see, the place of articulation of fa is hinted, but it is not, the upper front teeth does not touch the lower lip.
Lower lip.
And finally, khilal. We have a kha with a kasra, which should be pronounced with the lowest level of tafkhim.
Thank you, Brother Muhammad, and thank you, dear audience of IRIB English Radio. You're still listening to the program Let's Recite the Quran. Stay tuned.
IRIB English Radio presents
Let's Recite the Quran.
Recitation.
Tajweed points.
Reciter's biography.
Quranic books.
Maqamat.
Translation.
Alhan.
Short lecture.
All
in Let's Recite the Quran.
Quran.
Dear audience, now it's time to listen to a short speech by Sheikh Salim Binji.
A'udhu billahi minash shaitani rajim. Bismillahir rahmanir rahim. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. We focus our attention on a tradition from our sixth Imam, Imam Jafar ibn Muhammad al-Sadiq, may God's peace and blessings be upon him, in which he elaborates on the reward given for those who recite the book and who make an extra special effort to memorize the Book of Allah. Now we know when we look at the Muslim world, when we see young men and women and even older men and older women, that there are tens of thousands, if not millions, of individuals around the world who have committed the entire Book of Allah to memory, who have memorized the entire Quran from beginning to end in the original Arabic, even though maybe Arabic is not their mother tongue. But this is, as we see, one of the miracles, so to speak, of the Quran, that even those who have a very limited connection to the language are still able to commit the entire book of 114 chapters of 6,600 some odd verses to memory. The reward is great, and the challenges are obviously as great as the reward is. But let us look at the tradition that we want to reflect upon today from the sixth Imam, in which he gives us a value of what reward is in store for us who memorize the Quran. And he says the following: Allah will reward the person who recites the Quran a great deal and makes a promise with it to try and memorize it, even though it may entail great difficulty, a double reward. So whatever reward is promised by Allah that we might not have been able to comprehend of the recitation and memorization of the book, the sixth Imam says that a double reward. So whatever the reward may have been, he is saying that a double reward will be given to those who recite and who make it a point to try and memorize it, even though they may have great difficulty in memorizing the Book of Allah. But we will see, as I'm sure if we try to do our best to memorize the Quran, that the more and more that we recite, the more and more that we try to commit to memory, that we will find it to be easier and easier later on down the road to actually commit chapters of the Quran to heart. And obviously there are many different tips and keys and avenues and lessons that we can probably take part in to teach us methods and then the methodology of memorization of the Quran. You can look for those online. You can look for those maybe from friends whom you know who have memorized the Quran to ask for advice and tips. But definitely for those who are able to, we should try our best to memorize the Quran, to preserve it, to keep it within our heart. And obviously that is only a precursor to be able to apply the ayat to our lives. But once we understand and memorize the verses, then if we ever in an opportunity or in a spot where we may be put face to face with sins, that those verses that we have memorized will come to our mind and we will remember the punishments which Allah has in store for certain sins, or we will remember the benefits, the pleasures in paradise which Allah has promised for those who perform certain actions, and that in itself will be a means to us keeping away from those sins of which Allah has talked about within the Quran. And obviously if we know the book, then we will know what we have to keep away from and what we have to perform, and we will do our best then to make note of those verses.
Dear audience, that was the final part of the program, Let's Recite the Quran. If you have any comments, questions, or suggestions, feel free to email us at englishradio@irib.ir. And don't forget to visit our website, that is parstoday.com. Until next program, we'll leave you in Allah's care. Goodbye.
سبحان يا خالق الإنسان نورنا بالقرآن بمصحف الإيمان ندعوك نرجوك يا مالك التكوين ندعوك نرجوك يا مالك التكوين املأ قلبي قرآن اشرح صدري قرآن املأ قلبي قرآن اشرح صدري قرآن. When your horse returns to our camp riderless, 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 riderless.
سيدي ومولاي ومعتمدي ورجائي.
The ocean of dua.
الإمام الحسين عليه السلام زيارة مني ونيابة عن والدي.
I didn't leave us to fend for ourselves. Hussein, Hussein, the slain.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، ثم الصلاة والسلام على سيدنا ونبينا محمد وآله الطاهرين. In the name of Allah, the most beneficent, the most merciful. I am Sayyid Muhammad Hassan Madarisi, and in this edition of The Ocean of Dua, we are trying to discuss and talk about the different aspects of Ziyaratu Imam al-Husayn alayhi salam, Ziyaratu al-Ashura. So stay with us.
فَلَعَنَ اللَّهُ أُمَّتَانِ أَسَّسَتْ أَسَاسَ الظُّلْمِ وَالْجَارِ عَلَيْكُمْ أَهْلَ الْبَيْتِ وَلَعَنَ اللَّهُ أُمَّتَانِ دَفَعَتْكُمْ عَنْ مَقَامِكُمْ وأزالتكم عن مراتبكم التي رتبكم الله فيها.
Following our previous discussion, dear listeners, over the significant impacts and consequences of laying the foundation of injustice against the Ahlul Bayt, in this program, we will talk about another important element that was the result of this foundation of injustice. What we come to see in the history is the facilitation of the ground for a group of ignorant Muslims to have the audacity to openly question and challenge the divinely chosen after this incident. Although some historians mention that the Khawarij appeared after Imam Ali alayhi salam persisted in his covenant with Muawiyah to stop the Battle of Siffin, the fact and reality seems to be that the attitude of the Khawarij must have taken roots much earlier during the time of the earlier caliphs. Many of the Muslims realized that those who have taken the responsibility of leadership themselves cannot interpret the verses of the Holy Quran properly and have to refer to the others. They also closely observed how some of the rulers were actually ignorant of these basic Islamic laws, and they sometimes would make grave mistakes in cases of penal laws. This perhaps implanted the concept in their minds that religion can be judged and interpreted by the Muslims, by any Muslim actually, even though he is not directly endorsed by Almighty Allah or his Apostle. To them, the necessity of infallibility of the chosen leader was completely far-fetched. There are so many instances that naturally give way to doubts about the authority of Islamic leadership and actually create an atmosphere of independence in judging and interpreting Islamic matters, but it seems that touching upon those cases is beyond the scope of this program.
When people ask, I'm confused about which school is right or which madhab is right, go to Karbala. Look at Karbala, it clarifies it instantaneously. Anybody says, I'm confused, say, please go to Karbala and tell me what happened, why it happened, and what does it have to do with your religion. You will see it completely exemplifies, it clarifies, it takes all the blurs out instantaneously. SubhanAllah, that's the miracle of Imam Hussein alayhi salam. Imam Hussein alayhi salam's main foundation of morality is do not allow tyranny, do not allow evil doing, do not allow indecency. Why is Imam like this? Because he knows Allah, he appreciates him, he understands his dimensions. That's why we must love them so much. We must love them so much that don't let anybody else take us away from them. There should be no room in our thoughts. No matter who we admire in this world, no matter how great a person we look at, never move the Prophet and Ahlul Bayt out of the center of the heart. Never. They will know that their Khalifa lied to them because he told them they don't pray. And if they see them praying on the battlefield, their hearts will change. So stop them from praying. Imagine how evil these people were. That's how much lies they had. And you cannot eradicate this lie at the level that we are talking about unless you give your blood for the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Let's move further on to talk about another consequence of this foundation of injustice and oppression against the Ahlul Bayt. We can somehow say and claim that this action, this oppression against the Ahlul Bayt, facilitated a perpetual ground for torture and oppression against the Ahlul Bayt. After this incident, we see the forcefully snatching away Fadak, the property gifted by the Prophet ﷺ to Lady Fatima during his lifetime. After that, we have the martyrdom of Lady Fatima. Then we have the domination of Banu Umayyah and their atrocities on the Ahlul Bayt and their sincere followers. We see the grounds for the appearance of the slayers of Amir al-Mu'mineen, who were known as Qasitin. And after that, we have the very murder of Amir al-Mu'mineen, the murder of Imam Hassan, and the horrendous massacre and tragedy of Karbala, and the murder of Sayyid al-Shuhada. We can somehow say that the origin of the captivity of Imam Zain al-Abidin alayhi salam and the rest of the family of Imam Hussein alayhi salam was in that laying foundation. So, when in this part of the ziyarah we recite, فَلَعَنَ اللَّهُ أُمَّةً أَسَّسَتْ أَسَاسَ الظُّلْمِ وَالْجَوْرِ عَلَيْكُمْ أَهْلَ الْبَيْتِ, we must reach the very origin where this laying foundation started. We do not just curse the people who caused the massacre and tragedy of Karbala directly, but we are referring to the ones beyond this story. Even the despicable tragedy of Harra in Medina and the murder of Imam Zain al-Abidin and Imam Baqir alayhi salam are the results of that deviation. And at the very end, the ghaiba of Imam Mahdi alayhi salam, whose separation has injured the hearts of his sincere followers. Dear listeners, we will try to talk about another aspect of the consequences of this foundation of injustice in the next programs. Thank you for staying with us. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
الذي صنعت من الرمح منبرا ظمآن والزمان بعينيك ممطرا نعم الأمير أنت حسين وقدوتي ساروا إليك قلبي وعقلي ودمعتي يا محيي الكرامة تبكيك كل عين لبيك يا إمامي لبيك يا حسين
الروح بالدم لبيك يا حسين بالروح بالدم لبيك يا حسين
Our voice comes from the heart of beautiful Iran.
This man changed the world.
Allahu Akbar, Khomeini Rahbar. Allahu Akbar, Khomeini Rahbar.
Our bosses couldn't cope with the idea of an 80-year-old Ayatollah, which they didn't even know what an Ayatollah was, who lived on garlic and onions and yogurt, directing a revolution that was about to topple America's most important ally.
شما در این قرن معجزه کردید. ملت ایران ملت معجزه آسای قرن است.
الله اکبر. خمینی رهبر. الله اکبر. خمینی رهبر.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. In the name of Allah, the Exalted, the Most Compassionate, the Most Merciful. Salam, hello, and welcome to our listeners. Particularly a warm welcome to our listeners to our program, The Man Who Changed the World, and of course, Shape All Our Tomorrows. We're speaking about the life and times of Imam Khomeini, may God bless him. And we've reached the point now in this account, of this biographical account, of the second phase of Imam Khomeini, may God bless him, where he is at the stage of influencing the Hawza system. And we are going to, in this program, discuss aspects of the uniqueness not only of the Shia leadership, but also what it takes to become a Marja'i Taqlid, and how that is acknowledged. What are the conditions that need to be stipulated for someone to become a complete authority in terms of fiqh, in terms of jurisprudence, to be able to guide the Muslim Ummah properly. And of course, we're doing it, discussing this with a background where there is intense oppression against the removal of Islamic values, especially from Iran through the Pahlavi regime. So we're round about, once again, I'd like to introduce my guest who will help me in depth in this discussion, which is Sayyid Taqi Razavi, who is from the Holy Seminaries of Qum. First of all, salam, hello, and welcome, Sayyid, to the program.
Alaykum salam, thank you for having me.
Thank you very much for giving us your valuable time. Now, Sayyid, we were at that point where you're discussing the second and very important phase of Imam Khomeini's life, may God bless him, where he's going to be acknowledged as an authority. But we've already discussed in the previous program that he is an extraordinary expert in his own right in terms of not only understanding all the Quranic sciences, but he's also, you know, has a broad knowledge of many other philosophies, Western philosophy, astronomy, mathematics, and so many other subjects as well. So he's quite an all-round expert and quite unique talent in that respect. But at the same time, he has this mentality, this psyche of resistance, of martyrdom, that, you know, it comes from the pure line of his lineage from Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, and especially the seventh Imam, as you mentioned, Imam Musa Kazim. So where do we go from here now in terms of the fact that, you know, these big authorities there already in the Hawza system, like Ayatollah Borajerdi? We've also discussed Ayatollah Mudaris, who is at the forefront of the resistance and was eventually martyred by Reza Khan with his blasphemy in terms of removing Islamic values from Iran and, you know, removing hijab and stopping prayer, etc., in public schools. But at the same time, where does this second phase begin, and what are the conditions by which, you know, an authority is acknowledged, especially amongst the